From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Claire Strempel with a quick look at your local and statewide news. The Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade this morning, eliminating the right to abortion after 50 years. About half the states are expected to ban the procedure. Abortions are still legal in Alaska, though many women live hundreds of miles from access to abortions. Juneau residents Emily Chapel and Brian Sparks took to the corner of Egan and Main Street with signs protesting the decision around 9 a.m. Friday. Chapel said she was there because restricting access to safe and legal abortions will cause harm and suffering.
I just can't believe that my daughter has fewer rights today than I did at her age. There's so much more. I'm really upset. Guns have more rights than I do at this point as a woman in the United States.
She carried a sign that read, "No forced births, expletive SCOTUS, I trust women." Sparks said he was there to support women and their right to choose. Nancy Courtney is a board member for Juneau Pro-Choice Coalition. She says the board is dismayed by the SCOTUS decision.
We knew it was coming. We knew it was coming. But it's still a shock.
The coalition is organizing a rally Saturday at Diamond Courthouse.
I'm hoping that we can come together as Alaskans and do the right thing and maintain safe legal abortion in our state.
The Alaska Supreme Court has ruled that abortion rights are protected by the state constitution. But in the November election, Alaskans will decide whether to hold a constitutional convention, which anti-abortion activists see as an opportunity to change that. Senator Lisa Murkowski has said she strongly supports Roe v. Wade. But in May, the senator voted against a bill that would protect abortion rights if Roe v. Wade was overturned. She and Senator Susan Collins of Maine introduced a narrower bill in February that drew little support. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strempel. Senator Lisa Murkowski was one of 15 Republicans who voted to pass a bipartisan gun safety bill on Thursday. The bill expands background checks for young gun buyers and also funds school safety and mental health programs. As Alaska Public Media's Katie Anastas reports, Murkowski called the bill responsible and says she doesn't think it infringes on Second Amendment rights.
The Bipartisan Safer Communities Act seeks to expand background checks for people under 21, protect victims of domestic violence, fund mental health resources, and improve school safety. A bipartisan group of senators began drafting the legislation after the recent mass shootings at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, and at a grocery store in Buffalo, New York. Senator Lisa Murkowski says the American public has called for action.
After every mass shooting, we cannot come together. We cannot come to terms. So we say our prayers are with the families. But this is complex. This is too hard. We can't do it. And so we do nothing. That's not responsible leadership.
Murkowski spoke at a news conference called by her office to explain how the bill would impact Alaskans and to, quote, debunk misinformation about the bill, unquote. If it passes, the bill would be the first gun control measure approved by Congress in decades. The bill would expand the background check process for people under 21 looking to buy firearms by including juvenile records. It also seeks to close what's known as the boyfriend loophole. Currently, perpetrators of domestic violence are banned from buying guns if they're married to the victim. Under this bill, that policy would also apply to long-term dating relationships. The bill also includes funding for community and school-based mental health services, including additional mental health training for school staff and pediatric primary care providers. And the bill provides $750 million to help states run crisis intervention programs. That could include red flag laws in some states, but Murkowski says states would not be required to establish red flag laws if they don't want to.
It gives states flexibility for different types of programs. So in Alaska, we have the mental health courts, we have drug courts, we have veteran courts. We can use these crisis intervention funds to help the state of Alaska fund these exact types of programs or other assisted outpatient treatment programs.
Murkowski says she's hopeful Alaskans will support the bill. She notes that it does not establish a red flag law for Alaska or raise the minimum age to purchase a gun. Instead, she says the focus is on mental health resources, school safety, and closing major loopholes.
That has all come about without new restrictions or bans, or waiting periods, or mandates for law-abiding gun owners. I mean, so when you look critically at what we have put in place, the ones that need to be worried about this measure passing are violent criminals and those who are adjudicated as mentally ill.
Murkowski is currently running for re-election, but says that did not impact her decision to support the bill.
The timing is what it is. And I can't look at a matter like this, as significant as this is, and say, well, I've got to test the winds here to see what is right because I am up for election. This needs to be a vote that I will stand by regardless of whether I am at the end of a six-year term or at the beginning of a six-year term.
In a statement, her main challenger, Republican Kelly Chewbacca, wrote that Murkowski's support of the bill proves that she doesn't respect the Second Amendment. But Murkowski argues she's a strong supporter of the Second Amendment and that the bill doesn't infringe on Second Amendment rights. Senator Dan Sullivan did not vote to move the bill forward. In a statement, he says he doesn't support any legislation that infringes on Alaskans' Second Amendment rights. In Anchorage, I'm Katie Anastas.
Four more teams crossed the Race to Alaska finish line in Ketchikan Wednesday. And Thursday morning, as KRBD's Eric Stone reports, a four-man crew from Friday Harbor, Washington, claimed the race's second-place prize, a set of steak knives.
Steak knives!
Team Elsewhere cruised into Ketchikan Wednesday evening, crossing the finish line just after 5:30 p.m. That's just over 2 days behind the first-place finishers. Crew member Josiah Ball told a crowd of onlookers that the last 36 hours were a bit of a nail-biter as they fought for second place.
We were way, way out in front, and then yesterday afternoon, we took a look at the got service from a cruise ship, basically, and we were like, oh, we're only 20 miles ahead, four on the steam.
But with little wind at the time, the sails on the 33-foot Sovereign model hull weren't much help, so teammate Martin Gibson says they turned to human power.
And so we started doing 30-minute pedal schedules, where you're on 30 minutes just pedaling and rowing, too. We have two people pedaling and one person rowing and then one person driving through the kelp.
And in the end, it paid off, at least to the extent that winning a set of steak knives counts as paying off. Like the first-place team, Elsewhere took the outside route west of Vancouver Island. Some teams were approved for that route this year, while others must stay in the inside passage. The third-place finishers, Team Fashionably Late, were the first to arrive among those who took the traditional inside route, and they arrived just after 11 p.m. Wednesday. The first two multi-hull teams to finish sailed into Thomas Basin in the early morning hours on Thursday. Vegemite Vigilantes claimed fourth place, and Lost But Don't Care claimed fifth. Several more sailing teams are due to finish in the coming days. Among those who are relying on human power alone, two rowing teams, Don't Tell Mom and Let's Row Maybe, lead the pack. As of Thursday afternoon, they're near the northern tip of Vancouver Island, about 350 air miles from Ketchikan. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
Stepping back and looking at
Independent candidate Al Gross received a lot of support from Southeast Alaska voters in the special primary election for Alaska congressional race. Since the results came in, Gross has dropped out of the race. He hasn't said why. So what does that mean for the August special general election? How could ranked choice voting play out? To find out, Coast Alaska's Angela Denning spoke with James Brooks, who's covered Alaskan politics for years.
Ballot. Voters will be ranking either two or three Republicans and then one Democrat. And there's been a lot of chatter on social media about Republicans splitting the vote. But I wanted to ask you, is that even a thing with ranked choice voting? Is it that simple?
It can be. It depends. And I imagine there's going to be a lot of education campaigns trying to reach voters. Because in ranked choice voting, you can vote for just one candidate if you want. You don't have to rank everyone. But I expect there's going to be a lot of education campaigns by the candidates and campaigns, by the parties to say, fill out your ballot, rank more than one person. Because Alaska has a lot of registered Republicans and Republican-leaning independents. So it's theoretically possible that supporters of Palin don't vote for Begich if Palin is knocked out, and supporters of Begich don't vote for Palin if Begich is knocked out. But more than likely, it's a 1-2 ranking. Somebody who likes Begich will rank him one and Palin second and Peltola third, if at all.
You're listening to KTOO.